On the middle of the Radak, Radak Malachi Perik Beis, we are
883,
very good. 883, middle of Pasuk Yud Beis, so we're up to Pasuk Yud Beis. No, we didn't even get that far. Let me take a look over here. We're in the middle of the Radak, Bogda Yerushalayim, Pasuk Yud Aleph. We're up to Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Radak, page 881. 881 Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Radak. Radak on the, Bogda uvi Yerushalayim kolam afil b'Yerushalayim shu mekom beis hamidrash asu hatoi v'hazois. They had committed this abomination. What is the abomination?
This must be where we branched off yesterday.
Yes, intermarriage. We are in the middle of the discussion of intermarriage, a big hot topic in the world today. And we discussed yesterday at great length the difference between intermarriage in Eretz Yisrael versus intermarriage in Chutz La'aretz. Intermarriage, is the microphone working? Intermarriage in Chutz La'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael is much, much worse than intermarriage in Eretz in Chutz La'aretz. As we always said, we mentioned this idea many, many times. The Churban Beis HaMikdash was going to happen no matter what. That was a given. However, what did not have to happen was Golos. Tzidkiyahu was instructed very clearly, very specifically by Yirmiyah to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. Tzidkiyahu disobeyed. He disobeyed a direct order of a Navi. He disobeyed, and because he disobeyed, that is why the survivors were exiled. Had Tzidkiyahu listened to Yirmiyah, Nebuchadnezzar would have entered, would have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but the Jewish people would have been permitted to remain living in the land. That is clear as day. That's what it says in Mamash explicitly in the Pesukim, in Sefer Melachim, in Yirmiyah. It says it right explicitly. He told him, just surrender, carry out raise the white flag. He's going to, Nebuchadnezzar will come, he will dismantle the Beis HaMikdash, but he'll let you stay. He's not going to kill everyone, trust me. He did not want to give in because it was against public opinion, it was against the people who wanted to fight. The people in the Talmud of the Bayis Rishon, they did not want to suffer the humiliation of surrendering, they preferred to fight, and Tzidkiyahu, he gave in to public pressure. And that was a terrible, terrible mistake, and it was a terrible chilul Hashem. And because of that, it was an exile. What is the main consequence of the exile? Assimilation. If the Jewish people would have been living in their land for those 70 years until they would have been permitted to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, there would not have been intermarriage. Intermarriage is something which is a phenomenon which happens primarily outside of Eretz Yisrael. When we live in another country, we're not the Balabatim, we live in a host country. You're not in charge. They have a host country. They set the rules. They have a culture. They have an agenda, and you can't fight. You can't go against. You get the pressure and the culture is overwhelming, and that leads to intermarriage, as we all know too well in America, and throughout history, it's been a big problem. But if they would have remained living in Eretz Yisrael, then there would not have been this issue. The issue of intermarriage would not have come about. There would not have been a nisoyon to intermarry because who are you going to marry in Eretz Yisrael? Only your own. And also the culture, you still maintain your own culture, so there's no outside pressure.
But it's also true of Golis. In areas where Jews were persecuted, obviously you did not have intermarriage to that extent. Where the societies were open, then you see that, you know, that's the
right, the ghetto versus Napoleon. When Napoleon opened up for Jews the ability to come out of the ghetto, so to speak, and integrate into society, it seemed at the time a blessing, but in truth it was a curse, because that created an enormous problem of intermarriage. That as long as Jews, I mean, there's nothing is good. Either way, it's no good.
The Jews living in, what are you supposed to do? That's the double-edged sword of Esachi, the essay.
No, both ways are no good. Either or is no good. Whatever you do is no good. We always say from Rav Herschel Schachter, on Yom Kippur, it was always a disaster what happened Yom Kippur, no matter what. Because what did they do? They took the animal, and they took the Zahiris a tongue of wool dyed red, and they split it into two. They put one half on the animal, on the Sohir La'azazel, and the other half of the tongue of wool they tied to the gate of the city. And they threw the animal off the cliff. And then the question was, everyone was eagerly looking at the half of the tongue of wool that was tied to the gate of Yerushalayim to see if it would miraculously turn white. So if Harish HaShachar said whatever happened was no good. If it did not turn white, if it remained red, there was a panic. People went into panic mode. Hashem did not forgive us. We're doomed. We're all dead. We're finished. If it turned white, it was also no good. Because then complacency set in. Ah, Hashem forgave us. He forgave us. We have credit. So what do people do? Mitzvah Yom Kippurim? Let's go to the movies. Not the good movies, the bad movies, because complacency. Look.
You mean the good movie?
What? There are good movies?
The
complacency. So it's a horrible reality of this world. Whatever you do is no good. If the wool is red, you're in a state of panic. That's not healthy. That's not the way it's supposed to be. To live your life with fear, in a state of terror, Hashem's going to strike me down with a bolt of lightning. Wherever I go, I'm going to get sick. I'm going to die. It's horrible. On the other hand, if it turned white, oh, everything is fine and good. Ish hayosha be'enav yaseh. Okay, so whatever you do is a problem. So here's the same thing. If you live in the ghetto, it's no good. You're persecuted. You deny your opportunity to enjoy the big wide world and participate in everything the world has to offer. And if the world is open to you, then there's a very great danger of falling to the pressure of the Ummah Yisraelim to embrace their culture, their religion, and their values, which are usually, you know, the antithesis of what the Torah stands for. So this is the problem of life. You know, to find that sweet spot where you can participate and enjoy all of the bracha that the world has to offer without. Or some of it, without, why only some? Why not all? All the bracha. The world is an incredible world out there.
Everything.
You know, it's in a beautiful world out there, and the world has a lot to offer. Chochma ba'amim tamin. There's a whole world, but yet wherever you go, you know, there's always trouble following you behind. You know, the this is no good, that's no good, and this one is flexing their muscles to make sure you do things this way and that way. And a lot of these things are against the hashkafa of the Torah, and there are dangers. And when there's a danger, what happens? People, they go to another extreme. All right, let's go further. We have over here pasuk. What is this pasuk we're telling us? So the mention is that it's bad enough to do intermarriage in Chutz Eretz, but to bring intermarriage into Eretz Yisrael, this the Torah, the Navi here uses a word that is unusual. Extremely unusual, visoeva. This is not a lightweight word. This word is not a word you just throw around loosely. The word here being used in this pasuk is expressing an extreme degree of frustration and severity of an avera that is taking place in Eretz Yisrael. Intermarriage in Eretz Yisrael is a toeva.
Isn't Israel here is the nation of Israel?
No, it seems no.
It says Be Israel Ubi Yerushalayim. So Be Am Yisrael, I thought maybe it's Be Am Yisrael.
Okay, but Am Yisrael, and okay, the Torah is in Yerushalayim. Okay, in Yerushalayim. But that's what he says here clearly. He says right here, he says it twice on this page. But in this passage, he makes it very clear. Passage Ubi Yerushalayim Kolomer Afilu Bi Yerushalayim Shehu Mekoyim Beis Hamikdash Osu HaToeva Hazos in the marriage. But I think Eretz Yisrael, I think refers to the land, the Eretz. I don't think it means the nation.
It says before Pinchas, you know, because
we batzu the. So definitely,
it doesn't say name. Ish ha-Yisraeli.
Right.
Et ha-Isha.
Look, there's no question that the word Yisrael more often than not refers to the nation, not to the land. That's for sure. That's for sure. But the way the Radak, we can't go through the Radak all the words again, but the Mefarshim, the way we learned the Pesukim over here, okay, we can't go through it again, it seems that he's referring here to intermarriage in the land, in Eretz Yisrael.
Pentakiha Eretz Yisrael.
pent, because that's other abominations. That's other. That's general abominations. But Rav Kalman is saying is that generally you're saying the word Yisrael is not a word that is used to refer to the land. The word Yisrael is a word that refers to the nation, and the nation is not dependent upon the land. They live all over the world in Golis. I was reading your book Greenblatt. Okay, the one you gave me. What Greenblatt? Greenblatt. So he says like it's really I'm about almost halfway through it. Mayer also gave me a book. I'm supposed to I'm also only halfway through that book. Esther Jungreis. But so he says he made a very a lot of gold nuggets. A lot of golden nuggets in that book. And one thing he made an impression is that the land Klal Yisrael doesn't have a land. They have a promised land. They have a promised land. They came into this world, and the way Hashem set up the world is, you have nothing. You have nothing. Hashem promised a land to Avram. Other nations have land. We never made a total achiza on our land. Eretz Yisrael, when they kibush Rishon, they never conquered the whole land. Even the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, there were pockets of the land that were never conquered. And certainly Keni, Knezi, Kadmoini, that was certainly never conquered. But even in Eretz Yisrael, it was never fully conquered. There was some holdouts. And even what we did conquer, obviously we did not conquer it enough that it stayed with us. Because look at the facts speak for themselves. Hayyada Yomazeh, even today, in the modern world, when we live in Eretz Yisrael, the Goyim, the Umay Soilam, are still challenging our legitimate claim, our legitimacy living in the land. No one's coming to challenge America for their claim. No one's coming to challenge
us. Only from within.
Only from within. But no one's coming to challenge any other nation. Every other nation, no one's coming to challenge. What are you doing here? In Australia, someone's coming to challenge their possession of, this is our country, get lost. No one's coming to say that you have no right to be here. The only nation in the world, Hayoim, today, who is being challenged, Taiwan. But besides that, but the only one that's really being challenged is Eretz Yisrael. And that's unfortunately, that's part of that's part of Hashem's Hashkach, is that the world is not over yet. In Klal Yisrael, you really never were given the land. You were given a promised land. So we don't have anything until Mashiach comes. We don't have a real achiza where the world acknowledges. And the word, Rabbi Kalman is saying very good, he's saying that the word Yisrael throughout Tanakh almost always refers to the nation, not the land. Okay, we can't go over the Pesukim again, but it appears
especially
that...
Especially at the beginning of the Pesuk, it says, Magda Yehuda. Who's Yehuda?
Right, so Yehuda is the nation. It's the nation. It's not the land. Right, but here it seems the way he explains the word Yisrael means in the Oretz, the Oretz in the land. It's a chiddush. This needs more discussion, more analysis. If that what I'm saying is true, the impression I got. Okay, but certainly Yerushalayim, that certainly is the land. That's without question. But the Toeva, the way he connects the Toeva, is because that was his whole point. That was his whole thrust. It's bad enough to engage in intermarriage in Chutz La'aretz, in Bavel. To go bring intermarriage into the Aretz, this is unexcusable. And here we upgrade the vocabulary from just a sin to a To'eva. To'eva is a word, when it comes to Arayas, it was only used in the Torah in reference to Mishkav Zohar. And here we're using the word To'eva in reference to intermarriage, which is shocking, as we gave the shir. And it, again, I told you the impression I got was Yisrael is a term here for the Oretz. Yet, I don't know, maybe you're right. Maybe it's not what it means here. It means that the people of the nation who are doing this in Yerushalayim. All right, leave it with that.
I think by Yer Nidachas it says To'ev.
It says To'ev by Yer Nidachas?
It's in my head. So
could be. Okay, you have to study that. That's a big topic. It's a big topic of the topic of the word To'eva. I remember, why does it make an impression upon me? Because years ago, there was an institution that allowed, you all know what I'm talking about, that allowed, that due to government regulations and all this the stuff, they allowed it. Well, okay, they allowed this. And there was a rebellion among certain members of the staff of the yeshiva, that this is unacceptable, and they spoke out, and their words of protest were recorded and were disseminated on the internet. And one of the speeches, I remember who it was, I'll tell you privately who it was, he gave a whole speech on this topic, on the meaning of the word to'eva, an analysis of how it's used, where it's used in Chumash. And he explained what the word is and where it's used, and he showed, I don't remember the details, that it's used specifically in reference to Mishkav Zohar. And that puts this type of Avera in a different league. And although today, maybe in the past, we've tolerated a lot of things because we have no choice, but to go and, you know, push the line and stretch the limits of what we're going to tolerate that is connected to Torah, yeah, the buck stops here. Because you're going over a red line. And his red line, the way he gave his lecture, his red line was, when until now this was not acceptable, and now we're going to make it acceptable, you're going over the red line of what the Torah calls a to'eva. And that's not something that we should be doing.
Anyhow, they'll say it by...
Irnidachas. A whole city who worships Avodah Zarah, that is a to'eva. Another example.
Didn't I read that...
To'eva, okay. So Ir Hanidachas is another example of a to'eva. Yeah.
Didn't I read even today in Eretz Israel, there were many, many Jewish girls marrying Arabs?
Not many. I wouldn't say many. It's definitely true. There's no doubt about it. There are Jewish girls who marry Arabs. There's no question about it. The organization called Yad La'achim, that's their niche. Yad La'achim used to be Kiruv Rechoikim, and then they split. There was something happened. They split from Yad La'achim and Lev La'achim. Lev La'achim, they...
Shach made the split.
Yeah?
Yeah, because Yad La'achim was very strongly supported by Lubavitch. And I think one of the top executives of the Lubavitch.
Okay, so what's so bad?
Lev Lachim.
And Yad Lachim.
Right.
Lev Lachim. So they used to do Kiruv also, but now no more. Now Yad Lachim specializes in intermarriage of Jewish girls married to Arabs. That's what they specialize. And Lev Lachim specializes in what they used to always do is Kiruv Rechaikim. But Lev Lachim became a different organization. Even Lev Lachim is an entirely different organization. They totally, their whole technique... Their technique, they used to be very aggressive. They're not so aggressive. They changed. Everything changed. Mashi yase hazman, lo yase haseichel. What?
Who's not aggressive?
Lev Lachim. Lev Lachim as a whole, it's a modern world. They've changed. Everything has changed. The world changes very quickly. It's a different type of organization. They're both phenomenal. They both do phenomenal work. Rav Meir, he's a mamash, a chosid muvuk of Rav Shach. And I'll tell you he'll tell you all the prote protein. I see you not happy with that statement there. Okay, let's go further.
I do remember the incident that
you're referencing.
I don't remember the context.
Avodah Zarah, it's more than one
story.
Time.
Avodah Zarah is also to'eva.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure there's other, which makes sense.
Okay, Avodah Zarah, especially your ducks. Let's go down to the next pasuk. Pasuk, Kodesh Hashem, Asher Ohev. Dibok ho'ish ho'isha, man and woman, when they come together, ho'isha ho'kodesh kodesh Hashem, t'chsev, v'dovak b'ishtoi. And this will be very fascinating. I remember I complained bitterly about the translation of the art scroll of Harayat Mikudeshes Li, and I told you there's no way you can translate as consecrated. We never even took it up. It was such a big talk. I'm a lazy bum. I should send them an email. Mikudeshes Li, and I said the word Mikudeshes means designated. And to say that the woman is sanctified is totally, totally wrong. Totally wrong. But look what the Radak says. This is not going to change my opinion, which is not even worth 2 cents anyway. But he says over here, V'ho'isha hu kodesh Hashem. A woman is holy. A woman is consecrated. Holy. How do you know that? The Chsiv, it says, V'dovak b'ishtoi, v'tzivu li'ishol sheyu kidoishim, V'yakidushu shelo yishalchu atzmam el kol isha. They should not send themselves out el kol isha k'mosha oisim hagoyim. What does that mean? Yishalchu atzmam, they shall send out themselves, el kol isha? What does that mean? They should not be hefker? Kemo sho'isim agoyim, v'soif harayis amar, kidoishim tihiyu. V'yishol gam kein nikru kodesh. If one thing out of them, first he says, kemo sho'amar kodesh yishol Hashem. Now let's read further. V'hinehe mechalim oiso, they are profaning the sanctity of marriage, osra kodesh, shehi bas Yisrael, v'noisim noshim nochuyos, alhe they marry non-Jewish women in addition to them, v'zehu ubal uvohal bas el nechor kolema bas sho'ivedes, a woman who serves, who worships, el nechor. Oh, okay, excellent. Is that marrying a non-Jewish woman, you are engaging, the man is going to be influenced by Avodah Zarah. Who is the one that was guilty of this, front and center? Shloimeh HaMelech.
Right.
Shloimeh HaMelech, he married this Bas Parah. What did she do? It says in the Medrash that she stayed up the whole night of the wedding, teaching him how to dance in front of Kemosh. Her Avodah Zarah. In Egypt, they worshipped an idol called Kemosh. And they have a certain dances. So she demonstrated to him the whole night how to dance, and he woke up late. And they were waiting to bring the day of the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. They were waiting, it was very, very late, and they needed the keys to open up the Beis HaMikdash, and he was the only one who had the keys. And they were waiting, and he overslept because he was up the whole night learning about, from his new wife, Avodah Zarah. And it says, in fact, he built a temple. His wife had influence upon him, and he built a temple in Eretz Yisrael. What?
A shtibel for her?
A shtibel. They built a shtibel for Kemosh in Eretz Yisrael. And this was a testament to the Torah's truth that v'lo yosur levavo, having too many wives will stray, will cause the person's heart to stray. And do what? And do avodah zarah. He said, it's not going to happen to me.
It doesn't necessarily mean worshiping, but
he tolerated. It doesn't mean mamash, it means he's tolerant. He was tolerant of Avodah Zarah, and that is one of the reasons why on the day when this is what he says now, this is what he said in Grunblatt. In Grunblatt, he writes there that the day that this happened, Rome was formed. The wedding night of Shlomo HaMelech, when he married Bas Parah, and she demonstrated how to dance in front of the Avodah Zarah, and she influenced him, which ultimately led to him tolerating the building of a temple in the honor of the Avodah Zarah. That is when sand began to form in the Mediterranean around Italy, Rome. And from that came the city of Rome. Now, wait a minute. Rome is the Churban Bayis Sheni. We're holding now at the inauguration of the Bayis Rishon. You would expect the Medrash to say that when Shlomo HaMelech inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash and there was a crack in the foundation because of Avodah Zarah, it would lead to the forming the foundation of the nation of Bavel, who destroyed the Bayis Rishon. Right? This is what Grunblatt says. So, in essence, what he says, what's going on over here? The Bayis Rishon is, we're not up to the Bayis Sheni yet. We're up to the Bayis Rishon. There's not even supposed to be a Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Rishon was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. The Bayis Sheni was destroyed by Edom, by Rome. And here Chazal are telling us that the night of Shlomo Melech's wedding, when the daughter of Pharaoh demonstrated Avodah Zarah, and he was tolerant, at that moment, Sirtoin, sand, began to collect around some type of rock in the middle of wherever the river, it's really on the Mediterranean. It's really not the Mediterranean. So isn't it the Atlantic? It's really come out the no, or the Mediterranean. It began to form, and from that came Rome. We're not up to Rome yet. The Bayis Rome will come 1,000 years later. We have the Bayis Rishon, 410 years. We have 70 years of Churban. And then we have 420 years of the Bayis Sheni. We're not up to that yet, one thing at a time. So you learn from that an incredible insight, is that the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni is really one. It's in essence, it's really the same. The Churban Bayis Sheni was planned the moment when there was a crack in the foundation of the Bayis Rishayim. Wait a minute, you're spanning too much time. That's a very profound revelation that the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni is one, which is really very different than most of the commentators. Most of the commentators will tell you that the Bayis Rishon is independent, and the Bayis Sheni is the Haskola of the Bayis of La'asalava. It was just a temporary dry run, a practice run. Most of the farce that I've seen, when they discuss the bias, Rishon and the bias Shein, they tell you there was only one bias. The bias, there's only two bottom. The bias Rishon and the bias Shlishi. There's nothing else. There is no Sheini. It's like an elevator. There's no number 17, 13, right? There is no 13. Doesn't exist, right? There's only the bias Rishon and the bias Shlishi. In the museum, there's no button. If you go on a museum, you want to go see all the button in the museum, there's the Bayis Rishon and there's the Bayis Shlishi. There is no floor to look at the Bayis Sheni. It doesn't exist. What do you mean it doesn't exist? You're denying the Daphne and Gemara? The Bayis Sheni is a practice dry run for a dress rehearsal for the Bayis Shlishi. The blueprints of the Bayis Sheni is Yecheskel. Is the Bayis Shlishi. Except not everything about Bayis Yecheskel's Nevuah was understood. So they did a skeleton fulfillment of what it says in Sefer Yecheskel. That's clear as day. The blueprints for the Bayis Shlishi is Sefer Yecheskel. We learned Sefer Yecheskel together. We went through a lot of time going through all the pictures and analyzing the Bayis Shlishi. When we learned Sefer Yecheskel, all the pictures, the article, and all these things, it has no resemblance whatsoever to anything of the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni is all in the Gemara. That's all found in the Mishnais, and the Gemara. You have all the details of the Bayis Sheni. That has almost nothing to do with the Bayis Shlishi. Not true. There are a lot of similarities. But the point that we learned, the Tiferes Yisrael, many of the Farshim say this, is that the Bayis Shlishi in Sefer Yecheskel it's too complicated. It's not understood. It's mysterious. It's sosum. It is sealed. It is impossible to comprehend what it says. And when they built the Bayis Sheni, they read the Pesukim in Yecheskel, and they did the best that they can. They did a watered down version, a heavily watered down version of the Bayis Shlishi.
It's called Bayit
Acharon.
Bayit Arishon, Bayit
Acharon. There's nothing in the middle. Nothing in the middle. Right. So that means, according to that, this is the run of the mill. This is what any yeshiva bach will tell you. You walk in Avenue M and you stop the average person. You tell them, explain to me the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Shein Shlishi. They're going to tell you the Bayis Rishon is the Bayis, and the Bayis Shlishi. Okay, and the Bayis Shlishi. Is the Bayis Sheni is practice. It was practice for the Bayis, because that's the blueprints. Along comes Rav Dr. Grunblatt, and he says, is he alive, Rav Grunblatt? No, when did he pass away? How long ago did he pass away?
A while
ago. Yeah, the book was printed in 1987. And I read these books. It's like, to me, it is so bizarre how he writes. I want to thank this one for typesetting it for me, for typing it.
Tisha B'Av thing twice.
Yeah, by Mandel? Really? So, you know, it's amazing. I always get the chills when they write this. I want to thank the typesetter. It means you actually went and you wrote it out by hand. Like, we used to do...
He could have done it on typewriter.
No, he didn't. He writes the ending. No, he wrote it out by hand, and he gave it to his secretary, and he says she had a very hard time reading his handwriting.
Oh.
Wow, people used to actually write books by hand and type it up. And I'm so baffled, because today, who could do that? Today, there are still people who do that, right? There are people who do that today. But it's a different type of writing. If you notice, the old writing, you take out these old newspaper clippings and you read it. Why is it different? Because today, anyone today, who writes something, when they type it, they know, this is my first draft. And then word processing. And then they go back and they add, they subtract. So you're writing l'chatchila, you're able to keep on fixing. When you don't have a word processor and you present it on paper, this is it. You're not going to go rewrite it 25 times again and edit this word, that word, this period, this comma. You got to get it right the first time. They cross out words and sentences, but nothing to the degree to what you do with the word processor. Okay. Nothing even close.
That's why you have a gillion of shots.
And that's why you take note, if you read old things before, you see, you really can pick this up. They're writing in that frame of mind. They're writing it's a different type of writing. It's sometimes more verbose. It's not, the sentence structures are not as the way we do it today. Because when you're in a frame of mind knowing, you got one shot at it, and that's it. And the edits are much more limited. You write differently, you think differently, you write differently. And it's just different. And reading that book, you know, that really struck me. But the point over there he makes is, he says something shocking, and he says, and it's not, and he's 100% right, because being that it says in Chazal, that on the day that Rome, that Shlomo HaMelech married Bas Paro, the Rome was established, and Rome is the Churban of the Bayis Sheni. You see that Chazal did not necessarily look at the Bayis Sheni as being part of the Bayis Shlishi. They looked at the Bayis Sheni as a chelek of the Bayis Rishon. That's undeniable. Because they were talking about the Churban of the Bayis Sheni as an outgrowth of a mistake, of a defect in the Haskol of the Bayis Rishon, there is this dimension, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There is a dimension that the Bayis Sheni is an extension of the Bayis Rishon. It's brilliant. You can't deny that. It never looked like that.
It's also the beginning, the origin point of the long Golas, which is really that's the theme.
The Golas, the Bayis Rishon will be destroyed, will be Golas, and the Bayis Sheni will also be destroyed, it's going to be Golas.
What is the short-term Golas?
Okay, the long-term Golas.
And there is the origin.
Right, but there's no question, it is a very powerful observation, mm-hmm. and it definitely changes the thing. Thank you very much. Why can you say thank you? Someone does you a toiva? Thank you very much. Okay, so this is the... And this is going to be the defense. We put Art Scroll on trial. Mayor Mark Plotnick is here. Wait, Mayor Zlotowicz is your
uncle.
So we've put Art Scroll on trial. We've bitterly complained about the translation of the Art Scroll Siddur. Hare at Nikudeshes. See, that's why I'm not married, Mark. This is why. I'm not married because of the translation. Hare Atah Mikudeshes, I protest to the translation. You are consecrated. What in the world is that translation doing there in the Siddur? You are designated. But look at the Radak. The Radak is coming to defend Artsko, because it says here the Isha is Kodesh, Kedoshim, the Parsha of Arayos is all. What?
The Radak doesn't say, it says the men are
Kodesh. No, it says primarily the woman is Kodesh. The Dovak, it says here, V'isha hu Kodesh Hashem. That's what it says. The Isha is the Kodesh Hashem. V'chsiv V'dovak B'ishta. This is their defense. Mark, they're going to cite chapter and verse. They're going to cite this Radak, that this is what it says, Kodesh V'dovak. Now, here's what I don't get. What is the word V'dovak B'ishta? What is that? What is the Radak saying here? This is really, really earth-shattering. He's saying, he's bringing in what it says, V'dovak b'ishtoi, V'hoyu l'bosar echad. This is by Adam. And because the word V'dovak has a connotation of Kedusha. Where does the word V'dovak, to cleave to your wife?
No, because the poet says, he started off, Radak started off, Kodesh HaMashiach, the book, or Ishka Isha who Kodesh Hashem. Now he's
turning in. Why? Where's sanctity found in the word Vidovak? Elmer's glue.
Oh, no. Those are the first words of the
Dibuk or Ishva Isha. Yeah. The Dibuk.
That's how
we say it. Who Kodesh Hashem. Why? What does the word Dibuk mean? I translate Dibuk as Elmer's glue. Elmer's glue. You don't have Elmer's glue. Devik is glue. You shall be glued to your wife. You shall cleave. cleave to your wife. What does cleaving to your wife have to do with sanctity?
Why can't we include in the word kedusha or kidesh, kudeshes, in addition to designated, also as consecrated?
That's true. That's 100% true. But that's shalosh shudas Torah. That's not halacha. There is halacha and agada. Okay, halacha, you can't mix halacha and agada. One of my favorite verlochot is look at the medrash. Chazal, there's something called medrash halacha and medrash agada. It's amazing how Chazal separated the two. All of the Mishnai, what came before the Mishnais? Before the Mishnais came medrash halacha and medrash agada. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he compiled, and then came Mishnais and Braisos, and he compiled what he selected into the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. But the roots of the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah are in what's called Medrash Halacha and Medrash Halacha, pretty much. Now, in the same people who wrote Medrash Halacha, which were even before the Tanaim, I believe, before the early Tanaim, the very, very early Tanaim, the Medrash Halacha, they also wrote Medrash Agada. There is Medrash Rabba. The same people who wrote Medrash Rabba on the five Halakim, Bereish, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim, are those who wrote Medrash Halacha, which is Mechilta, Sifra, and Sifrei. Mechilta is the Halacha starting from Parshas Bo, HaChoy Dezel Lochem, the first mitzvahs, Shmos, and then there is the Sifra. The Sifra is Toras Kohanim, which is on Chumash Vayikra, and then there is Sifrei. Sifrei is the Medrash Halacha, the mitzvahs of Bamidbar and Devarim. Why didn't they just make one book and includes everything together? Includes the Medrash Agada and the Medrash Halacha in one shot, like we have today in the Bavli, the Gemara. The Gemara, you have Agadita in the Gemara, and you have Halacha in the Gemara. The answer is they obviously felt that there has to be a very clear separation between Halacha and Agada. Do not mix halacha with agada. They're separate things. The people know the briskus, that special of Yashar Ber Soloveitchik, he developed this to a different degree. He did what people don't do. He would say derush built upon halacha. He would open up the Shulchan Aruch and read a halacha in Hilchas Shofar, and from the halacha derive a homiletic teaching. Okay, that's Rav Yoshua Ber Soloveitchik is very popular. That's what he does all the time. Meisen Mechol Yoyim. That's what he does. And not just him. A lot of, in the Briska family, a lot of the big Briskas, they do this. I don't know if they realize what they're doing. They take halacha, and from the halacha, they say homiletics. Some people don't like that. There are people, there are Gedolei Yisrael that don't do that. They don't do that I thought it was just because they're not talented to do it. It's not true. They don't do v'shita. They feel that it's an abuse. It's an abuse. You want to darshan homiletics? Homiletics, your source material is Medrash Agada, the Medrash Rabbah, not the Medrash Halacha. It's an abuse to mingle Halacha with Agada. And today, that doesn't mean anything. Now, generation, everything goes today. But I'm saying, going back to these minds from previous generations that were unusual minds, it's interesting. It's a hashkafic issue to darshan homiletics from halacha. Is it proper to open up Shulchan Aruch and read a halacha in Hilchos Shofar and from that make to give you a homiletic insight? So Rav Yoshua Ber Soloveitchik did this all the time.
You have an example?
No. maybe we'll come in a moment. And whereas others, no, you don't do that. Halacha is not something that you should draw, you know, insights into hashkafa. You go only to the medrashim. So here, Mordechai Hayehudi, you tell me over here, why can't it be both? It can be both. An isha harei at mikudeshes. The woman is mikudeshes. So you're saying, what's so terrible? You are designated to me and to the exclusion of all others, and you are sacred. You're a holy person. You're sahoda. You're absolutely correct. It means both. Absolutely. However, you have to take a very sharp knife and separate the time of when you're going to translate the words Mikudeshes as Miyuchedes versus Mikudeshes that you are sacred. Underneath the chuppah, where you are, your goal, your intent is to achieve a halachic result. There's no homiletics under the chuppah when the photographers are calling the shots. Under the chuppah, you're trying to achieve a halachic state, to give the woman a halachic status. At that moment in time, you take a sharp knife and you separate medrash halacha from medrash agada. And at that moment in time, when you say to a woman, Hariat Mikudeshes, it means you are hereby designated to me to the exclusion of all others. After they say Mazel Tov, and the rabbi now gets up to give a drasha under the chuppah, now we begin homiletics. And now the rabbi can open up the medrash agada and say that Mikudeshes means the woman is holy. Watch out, man. Behave yourself. This is sacred. This is a sacred gathering.
We have to acknowledge that the Shirish, Kuf Dalet Shin,
yes,
really designates or really means Kedusha.
Oh, police. We have a whole shir. We spent a whole hour on this.
Yeah, but we
no, it doesn't. That statement, unfortunately,
there's
is not accurate.
For that
Shirish, no.
Mean holy.
No, we spent a whole hour on this. The word some will say means that. I'm not denying that is a valid interpretation, but more often than not, the commentators don't say that. It means set aside. A woman who is devoted to Zenus, she's called the Kedesha. A man whose profession is to be a male or whatever they call, who does these things. He's called a Kodesh. How could the Torah use that word?
Right.
The Sefer Torah actually says, Lo Siyah Kedesh, Lo Yeh Kodesh. How could the Torah take a word which in our minds means sacred? There's some spirituality. And the Torah take that word, a woman who has devoted her life to engaging in making a parnasa out of doing these averos. She's called a Kedesha. Kedesha.
Look in the Chumash.
Yeah, that's right.
That
means Hashem
set
it aside.
Right.
Hashem took this seventh day. It's separate. It's different.
Kedusha holiness?
Not necessarily. No, that's exactly the point. We have been brought up to treat, and it's not wrong.
What is Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh?
Hashem is apart. Hashem is distinct. He is distinct.
Right.
Distinct.
He's separate.
He's separate. Hashem is separate. He's not in our league. He's not in our ballpark. He is not our pay grade. He's a different ID. His ID gets him into.
Berichu mean? Doesn't mean holy.
Separate. He's a being that is apart and
okay,
distinct, and may he be blessed. Yes.
There are many Hebrew words that have different meanings.
Right.
Like the Gemara says that there's a certain word, I forget what it was, Dalud Bashoinais. What word is that? Do you recall?
Im, ki.
Im, ki.
Im, ki, right.
There's other words that have different shades of meaning. I would like to suggest that perhaps here also there are different shades of
absolutely
meaning to it.
Absolutely.
So, even though, in other words, you're right, he's right, how can you both be right? You're right too. In other words, Kodesh could be designated, as under the Chuppah, Tosfos explains it, designated. Kedesha is designated. Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh is holy. It has two different.
They're related. They're cousins. It's the same idea.
The same word,
something which
meanings.
Is holy
there,
is designated.
Common, the common.
The common.
Yeah. But
it's the
shades,
it's the way it's used in the context.
Of meaning. Sometimes it's a completely different meaning. Like, what's the words again?
Yisko, Yisharish, Yishrash, Yisharish, Im.
Yeah.
It depends on the context.
This pasuk should say, "Bilei Yehuda Kodesh Hashem Asher Ahev." So you see here that the isha to the baala, the dvekus is the kedusha, not the isha itself. She's a human being, but yes, Kodesh Hashem, hachibur shel habal v'haisha, זה חיבור של השם, וזה הקדושה. That's the קדושה, זה הקדושים. Not the object, not the חצה.
The concept, the matrimony,
it's the
matrimony, the dibuk, the connection is kodesh, the dibuk, the dibuk ho'ish v'ho'isho. He's saying a very profound idea. What is kedusha?
But you
explaining the radak?
Yeah.
Did you say that?
Yeah. Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Yehyeh Bidvaroi.
What I'm saying is, we don't have to be forced to say it always has all the same meaning. It has to fit into that pattern. Like the Yisam Kedoshim, you know, you're designated.
Right.
The Parshas, you know, the Kedoshim, how you play this, you know, the Taras Club is a Mutalov.
It depends on the context. It has many meanings, and they're all cousins.
I can understand that meaning. It's a different meaning.
Yeah.
I had a thought that bears it out. The difference, let me explain one thing here right away with the spelling. If you take a look, when Bnei Yisrael are called Kodesh, it's Chaser. There's no vav after the dalet. When it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. It's Mole. It's a difference in the spelling of Chaser and Mole.
So what do you mean?
I don't know, but I looked five, six times already, and I
by Hashem is a vav. It's Mole.
I think in my head, and I ran, and by God, it's Mole.
Mole.
By Bnei Yisrael, it's Chaser.
I would distinguish it.
I don't know if it's gonna hold true. But I ran to five psukim. The first thing that I thank, I went to Mishpatim, I went to, you know, to Kedoshim, and now I'm going to, you know, this week's
parsha. What says Vi'isem Kedoshim, Hashem Elokeinu?
Yeah. That's so Vi'isem Kedoshim is Chaser, Ki Ani Hashem is Molech.
Could be. This could be a thesis.
I'm picturing the words.
That's all.
It hits me.
Well,
I don't know if it holds true 100%, but that's...
He's saying... The Radak here is saying something which I've never heard before. And if you look carefully, the more you look at the Radak is saying is that the woman is not Kodesh, the man is not Kodesh, it's the Elmer's glue that's Kodesh. That's what he seems to be saying. The D-book.
The union.
The D-book, yeah, that's what he... The D-book ho'ish v'ho'isha hu Kodesh Hashem.
That's it.
That's what he says. Where do you get that from? Where does that come from? So he seems to be saying, he seems to be combining two psukim to prove his thesis.
Yeah, because why are we using that lesson rather than Yichud, for example?
That's for sure. That is for sure. That's a given. Because there's no question that marriage is sacred. There's no question about it. But literally, under the chuppah,
you were designated.
It means to be designated. I'm not. Tosfos says this, right? That's what I said. But there's no question. Why then didn't Chazal say? Right.
Place you see the word.
No, right. No, of course not. Why didn't Chazal then use the word Harem Yuchedesli? Obviously, they want to give a flavor of the marriage is sacred. 100%. My only mishagas is so in the art scroll they should translate it the halachic because the halachic way. That's my only. Of course, marriage is sacred, but under the chuppah, you're coming to create a halachic achievement, and the halachic achievement cannot be achieved if you say you consecrate it. If a person says to a woman, and here's my question: if a person does not know Hebrew and under the chuppah he says the English, he says to the woman, "You are hereby consecrated to me with this ring." My question is, are they halachically married? Ask your rabbi, your local Orthodox rabbi. A man under the chuppah, he took out the article Siddur and he said the words in English, "You are hereby consecrated to me through, according to the laws, with this ring, according to the laws of Moshe and the Jewish people."
It's again, at the end of Kedoshim, V'yisem li Kedoshim Chaser.
Mole, Hashem is called. Hashem's Kedusha is Mole, and our sanctity is Chaser, relative to Hashem. Right. But if you go ask your local Orthodox rabbi,
your local Orthodox rabbi who ran this ceremony, he might let the person say it in English because he has to understand what he's saying. He's also going to tell him to repeat the Hebrew words.
Okay,
you get around what you're saying.
Fine, I know that, but ask your local. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the halacha I'm saying is not true. If you ask your local Orthodox rabbi, Ma'isa Shehoya, make believe Ma'isa, a man under the chuppah, he said to the woman, the English, you are hereby consecrated to me through this ring, according to the laws of Moshe and the Jewish people. And that's all he said, and he gave her the ring, they took pictures, she accepted the ring, and they took pictures. Are they halachically married?
Yes,
they get into a fight, and now, do they need to give a get? I'm not so sure. The word consecrated, does that make any sense in halacha? A man says to a woman, you are consecrated? There's no such thing. You don't consecrate a woman. You don't make her holy. She's no more holy before than after. You don't consecrate a woman. She is designated. I looked in the dictionary. So I told this, and we looked in the dictionary. We looked in the Oxford unabridged edition of the English language, and it didn't seem to say that it means it doesn't. It spoke about, you know, like 10 translations in the Oxford, in the dictionary, for consecration. It didn't seem to say the word designation. It says,
yeah,
holy.
You don't have to say Harei Atma.
You have to say, no, you do. You actually do. Kesef, only Kesef. We only do Kesef. There's no Shtar Bia. We only do Kesef. Only Kesef. There's no Shtar Bia. Shtar would have to be Shtar they would never ever do today. Know how to get married with the Shtar?
I'm just saying, it's not in the Torah that you have to say those particular words either.
It has to be.
In fact, the Gemara says, you know, something you throw down fig star or something like that.
I don't know the exact halacha, but it sounds like a very big problem. I don't know, maybe you're right, but it definitely sounds like a problem. I'm not taking away.
It says you don't have to say Kadash Moshe to Israel. It's Kadash Moshe to say even if you don't say it.
Okay, correct. Okay. But no, that's a very important thing because that allows for annulment.
That's for what?
Annulment. That is very
important.
We don't do annulment today. But there are situations where we do annulment. If a mamzer, so the Das Moshe of Yisrael is basically a legal loophole. It's a loophole that in case something in the future goes wrong, we can annul the marriage. It's a very dangerous thing that I'm saying over here. It's not done today at all. And anytime you hear that it's being done, it's a major, major storm breaks loose. But there are situations that it was done. Annulment. Annulment.
2 years ago, what happened? They left New York. It was because the husband lived in New York. They wanted to do it without his knowledge, and they annulled the marriage in Chicago without Schwartz.
He did it.
He did it.
He
had the mayor of London called it, whatever.
Okay.
Well, that was a famous storm with Travis.
Ksuba is not star. Ksuba is a takonas chazal that if in case of death or divorce he has to give her a lot of money. A ksuba has zero to do with shtar. Bia yichud has nisuin, has nothing to do. There are three ways to effect erusin. Erusin is to create the bond that these two people are designated to one another. What?
The dveikus,
that's right. Today we only do kesef. If you would do shtar, you know how it would have to be done? They would have to write the shtar under the chuppah. They would have to write in the shtar, the chassah would have to have parchment, have a sofer, ksav ashuris, would say to the sofer, I hereby designate you to write this document for me. And he has to write it l'shma. Basic means he's writing this text on this parchment,
like a get,
exactly. All the laws of get apply, and it have to be written. They have to wait, take a blow dryer. They go to Hachnas Sefer Torah, take a blow dryer to, after they put in the last dots to let have it dry. They have to wait until the star. Say Harei Ad Nikudesh Asli, Bishtar Zo, Kedas Moshe. You write those words on the star, and and it would have to be written l'shma. You would probably enhance it by writing his name, her name. I don't know. I don't know all the exact nusach, but at least it has to stay on the shtar. Harad mikudeshesli. It would have to be written for him and for her. And after it dries, he would then give her the shtar. The mile is the shtar doesn't cost a penny. You give a ring. A ring has to be worth a shava pruta. Has to be worth at least a quarter. Like you go into the supermarket, they sell those machines. You put in a quarter. It has to be worth at least a quarter, a pruta. But a shtar can be worth zero. So you save money on the shtar. What? Oh, so you asked a good question. So the truth is, a little piece of cloth today, I don't know how much can you get for a little piece of cloth today that you've already cut to a little size on eBay. Can you get something for it? Maybe you can. So you're right, but technically, let's say theoretically the piece of paper was worth zero, it's good. If the ring is worth zero, it's no good. Kesef, it has to be worth a little shavah pruta. According to Beis Shammai, has to be worth a lot of money. According to Beis Shammai, more than a dollar.
It says it's
a sell, so I think a sell is even more than a whatever it is. It's significant.
Because you don't want to cheapen a woman.
Say how much does the marriage ban cost? How much does the marriage ban cost? Like $100? Something like that? Marriage ban cost a lot more today than...
Hundreds?
Yeah. Amen, thank you. It costs a lot more than a pruta today, okay? How much a shav pruta? But there is no... We don't do shtar today. We don't... It's because it's too complicated. You have to be lishma. It has to be... What? Let's say he doesn't write the letters right. It's a nightmare. It's just a nightmare. You have to get the soifer who knows how to write. And then they'll put it away somewhere. And then 20 years later, they'll look at it and they'll say, oh, you know, he didn't write the letter peik. Or this letter, it's cracked. The letter is cracked.
You know,
oh, it wasn't kosher. What?
How many weddings have you been through with? And they had to take out another one and fill it in at that moment.
It would be a total nightmare to do a shtar under the chuppah.
It's so common.
A nightmare.
It's common.
Okay, bia.
Yeah.
I
had to do it one time.
What is the procedure of bia? Is basically the man says to the woman in front of two witnesses, we're now going to have bia, and with this bia, that's going to create the marriage. And by the way, after that one act, they're not allowed to live with each other. They're not allowed to live with each other until they have a nisuin. Now, so what do you do in public? So you go into a yichud room, right? That's not even so. You go into a yichud room, but it's trust. It's disgusting. You say to a woman under in front of two witnesses, we're going to have bia, and with this bia, we're going to be married. Rav Mangid. Anyone that did this, Rav beat him up. Okay, Rav took out a whip and whipped him. Where's the basulin? So no one's going to do bia today and say to two witnesses, in front of two witnesses, that we're going to have erisin. We're going to effect the first part of marriage through an act of bia. Rav, and I'm worried, you do this, you finish. I'm going to beat the living daylights out of you. You do this. Disgusting. Shtar is a nightmare. Under the chuppah to get a soifer, to go write on parchment the words, and he has to have kavana. Who's the chasan? Who's the kala? Make sure you write it l'shma. If you write, oh, I thought he was getting married. By my brother's wedding, the photographer was really sitting me down and like really getting me perfect for the picture and wasting a lot of time.
Right.
And I said, what are you doing? And he says, I thought you were the chasan. What a waste of time. I'm not the chasan. Oh, and he was like, he was so upset. Oh. Yeah, can stay for the Torah, exactly. Oh, like he didn't know. So could you imagine, you go to a wedding, and you have the soifer. Oh, I thought he was the chasan. I thought she was the kala. Oh, it's the sister. Oh, it's not a kosher marriage. It's not a kosher marriage. He wrote the shtar for the wrong person. A shtar is a nightmare. You want a nightmare by a wedding? You get married with the shtar. So the only thing we get married with is with kesef. A kesef, you know, the Masadeh Kedushin, they look at the ring, so there's all these mishagasim with the ring. They see that if it says on the inside of the ring, it says 18 karat gold, oh, this is no good. Because the person may think it's worth more than it really is. Like all these chumras, you just need a pruta. And it's important, the kala should not think that it's worth more than it really is. There should be an understanding. That's it. The ksuba is not a shtar, is not a shtar. A ksuba is nothing other than a takonas chazal. It's a rabbinic enactment that in case of chas v'shalom, death or divorce, then this man has an obligation to give her enough money to live comfortably for 1 year.
Well, it's a lot more than that. It's while they're alive, he has to...
1 year, just 1 year. Other obligations, right? Other obligations. That's the primary.
He has to support her, and he has to...
So once already, he's riding the shtar. That, you know what that's all for? Va'ano oiker, ve'eflach, ve'ezon, ve'afarnis, yisichi, lichik, hilchus, guven, yehudon, dezonin, mefarnis, and neshechon, bekushta. Right? So those, you know why you write all that stuff? You know why you write all that stuff? It's all fluff. You know why they write that? To cover up for the ugliness of what it really says in the ksuba. The ugliness of the ksuba is in case of death or divorce. So you want to do that under the chuppah? Under the chuppah, they get married.
That's very important stuff too.
Of course, very important.
It's not only there to cover up the ugly stuff. It's there because... You know,
that's self-understood. That those are deraisa. Those obligations are yechayiv no matter what, even if there is no ksuba. Even if there is no kisuva. Let's say you get married, there's no ksuva. Is the man obligated to give honor, to support, and provide everything it says there? 100% those are deraisa. Deraisa. The only thing that he's not obligated to do, he doesn't pay money. So keep in mind, you're under the chuppah.
What
is that? She'er ksus ve'oina. It's pas the Torah by the Amor Havriya. Share kisus ve'oino. He should not deny from her share food, clothing, and his marital obligations to her. It's deraisa. So under the chuppah, could you imagine a person gets married, beautiful wedding, and under the chuppah, say in English, after they do kiddushin, Rabbi say. Can you imagine under a chuppah, this man, they just got married, these nice two young people, and everyone should know that in case there's divorce or death, then the man, the boy over here, obligates him to pay her about $60,000. Everyone should know that here in this room. It would ruin the whole wedding. It would spoil the whole wedding to go make that public announcement, public service announcement. These two beautiful wedding, everyone is so happy, a miracle. Every wedding is a miracle. In case of death or divorce, he's going to give her $60,000. It would not go off well. So what do? We put a lot of fluff to cover up what it really says inside. A lot of fluff is, oh, what a beautiful event. Mazel tov, and the chassan's going to mechabed her and give her food and clothing, and he obligates himself to do all these wonderful things. It's all fluff in order to cover up what it really says in the ksuba. That so ksuba is nothing to do with effecting the marriage. Ksuba was made by Chazal as basically a deterrent, that in case we come home one day and the wife doesn't have dinner on the table for him, so he says, you know what, we're getting divorced because you don't serve me dinner. So she says, okay, $60,000. I want to see, right? That's what it costs today. That's what it is today. $60,000. The cost of living 1 year, a single person today. How much does it cost in America, New York, for a single person to live comfortably for 1 year? One comfortably. About probably at least about $60,000. Comfortably. No one's going to remember. Who's going to pay your health insurance? Who's going to pay for rent, food, utilities?
You don't have to pay rent anymore.
Unfortunately. Whatever. Well, who's going to pay? Pay everything. No parents, no husband, no benefits, no nothing. It's a lot of money. You know what? I didn't give you dinner. You're going to divorce me? Where's the money? All right, you know what? We'll stay married one more day. We'll stay married. It's a deterrent. Okay? Bia, the yichud room is part of nisuin. Bia, the yichud room, first there's no bia in the yichud room. The yichud room is part of the second part of marriage. There is nisuin. Nisuin means after you have erisin, you're not allowed to live together. Once the man and woman are married, they're not allowed to live together. It means they're just she's designated to him. That's all it means. Even if they get married through bia, they're not allowed to live together. Only they had bia to make that bond. But they're forbidden. They're forbidden to live together anymore. In order to be permitted to live together fully, husband and wife, you have to have part two of marriage called nisuin. And that is you do an action of taking the wife into your home in the presence of 10 people, and you recite 7 blessings. Two witnesses, and you recite, not even one.
You need
7 blessings. Asura. So we do everything in Yusuf and Tamech Hazal. There was a 12-month gap between the Erisin and the Nisuin. And then they came back a year later and they did the Nisuin in the presence of 10 people. She went under the chuppah and they recited the 7 blessings. I'll tell you something very interesting. I never knew this. I saw this written up. A shocking thing would have been written up. He wrote this up. Hirhurim. He's an editor. He's a very popular person. Gil student. So Gil student, he has incredible stuff on his website. He's a genius. Incredible things he has. And he writes that historically they did this. They had Erisin, and then you know what they did? They did Erisin a second time. Historically, they did. Erisin. That means you're married. You can't run away. You're married to this woman. Don't just disappear anywhere. It's not, you get engaged. What's an engagement? I mean, you give your word. People get engaged. No, unfortunately today we hear a lot of stories, broken engagements. There's no penalty, unless you sign a tanoim, there's no penalty. Okay, they decide to break off the engagement. There's no penalty. But if you're married, you're married. You're married, you have to give a get. There's nothing to talk about. So a year, and then when did they have the nisuin? A year later. A whole year passed until they got together a second time and they had a chuppah. And they went into the chuppah, and they said the 7 blessings, and now they live together, husband and wife. People did not know, it was that they had erisin, and it became a problem. People thought the way you get married is just by going under a chuppah without doing harayat. So they repeated the harayat a second time. Now they couldn't make a bracha, obviously. They could not make a bracha, but they repeated the erisin a second time at the time of the nisuin, in order that no one should think you can have marasayin, you can just go and live together, husband and wife, without the erisin. Okay, I was shocked to read this. And
they dropped the original one.
Right, and then eventually we totally dropped the first one, exactly. Today,
today
we do just the one shot. It's unheard of today, unheard of. I don't know. I was utterly baffled. Okay, in my gaiva, I thought I knew everything. In my extreme gaiva, I thought I knew it all. And I'm reading this stuff, and like, what? I never heard of something like this. And he goes on and on, pages and pages with sources and explaining all the lumness behind this and all the stories behind this. Wow, where have I been? I never heard this before. Never heard such a thing like this before. But this is you probably just Google it. You go to Hirhurim and you Google it, and I don't know, a double, double ring ceremony. But it's a one way double ring.
She'll
79
years ago, my parents got married during the war with just 2 witnesses and a rabbi. They're not married
because
they didn't have 10.
Chas v'shalom. No. Okay, so you're asking a very question. They didn't have 10 people. Are you sure they didn't have 10 people?
Yes.
For the Erisin?
They got married during the war.
There were no 10 people. They made the birchas to 10, the birchas nesuin?
No.
Yeah, they probably, the rabbi married them, they probably had 10 people. The Erisin does not need 10 people. The nesuin, I think it's Shulchan Aruch. You're supposed to have 10 people for the Sheva Brachas.
But if you don't have 10 people, you can't make Sheva.
They're married no matter what. It's not Ma'akev. The 10 people are not, it's not Ma'akev. But it's very unlikely they didn't have. They got married in the Holocaust, so there were 10 people. They had the Nisun. It's not Ma'akev. It's not Ma'akev.
You had a couple who wanted to get married and they wanted to go do it now.
I was once called to be a minion. I was called for 1 minion for a wedding. In my father's shul, like an emergency wedding. It was a second marriage, maybe a third marriage. You know, so an older couple, and they just wanted a very, very private wedding. a very private wedding, and just like 1, 2, 3, and someone called back, could I come to this wedding? Someone in my phone, so I said, yes, I came. There were probably 15 people. He didn't really need me, there were about 15 people. And, you know, 1, 2, 3, a shotgun, at least a shotgun wedding.
Sometimes you can have a big wedding and you don't have a minion.
What do you mean of a minion?
Well, you're saying, let's say a politician gets married, he invites all his going friend and all these not shayim shabbos. They say you barely have them.
If you have an Orthodox rabbi, it is his duty to know the halachas.
Right.
You, when you get married, you're supposed to have a mesader kiddushin that knows the halachas. There aren't so many halachas. This is not an endless shulchan aruch to know how to be a mesader kiddushin. It's not such a hard job to be a mesader kiddushin.
So what did you say? If he does it without the sheva brachas, it's like a...
The Gemara says, if a person has erusin, hareyat mikudesh l'bitabazu k'das moshe vishon, he gives her the ring in front of two witnesses, and that's it. There's no chuppah, there's no nothing else. And they live together, that is osir. They had no nisuin. If you just have erusin, if a man gives the ring to the kala in front of two witnesses and he says harei at, that is a perfect erusin. Perfect. They are 100% married. And if he wants to separate, he must give her a kosher get. However, he's not allowed to live with her
until he
does what's called nisuin. What is nisuin? There are different ways to do it. The simplest nisuin is he designates a spot that's his. This is my spot. Does he have to own it? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. L'chatchila he should, but not necessarily. He designates, this is my territory. Mine. The people over here for 5 minutes are going to accept that on this sidewalk, even though it belongs to the city, the city doesn't care if for 10 seconds it's my turf, right? My turf for 10 seconds. No one go here for 10 seconds. You now are going to come into my territory.
It's fine to have a talis. They put it
under a talis. It's also a type of nisuin. And we're going to do this in the presence of 10 people. And we're going to recite 7 blessings. One person can rattle them all off.
If he puts it under his own area with 2 Adam, that should be enough.
I believe it's a machloikis if you need 10 people.
The answer is that there is the isur of simcha after Chol Beis Hamikdash.
To be matir the simcha.
Sheva brachas is matir the simcha. The gaya is out of left field. By the Ma'aseh, the Seder, it says after the 7 brachas that you make by the Seder, Kan Megalin Pnei HaKala, and after you make Hamoitzi and Alchilas Matzah. So we see that the Sheva brachas is a matir, and the question is, what is it matir? And my answer is that it's matir
Simcha. The Simcha.
Whenever you have Purim Chadashes, there's a new creation of Simcha. You have to say the Sheva Brachos.
Okay, but the Chuppah, there's the din of the Sheva Brachos by the Chuppah, which is the act of Nisuin. And a Kala Biloy Bracha Asura Labala Kinida.
Okay,
it's to remove the prohibition of that degree of
Okay, Mordechai wanted to say something, yeah?
Okay. When Masada Kedusha announces at the time of the Arison, all we need is to aid them.
Correct.
They usually announce the designated them as aid them to the exclusion of all.
It's not necessarily a good idea. Okay.
Right. Well, but that's okay. Done. That's
not all.
Done.
Not always. Not everyone does it.
You're right.
Some do.
You see
it
a lot.
I see that all the time.
There's a reason not to do it.
Well, but there is a reason to do it too, because
in case there's a relative who wants to be a witness, and they want to ruin the wedding. Right.
There are reasons.
Okay.
And
okay.
Many I've seen it.
Okay, you're fine. Yesh v'yesh. Okay.
Now, when it comes to the nisuin, I don't hear them say, okay, now it's open, it's in front of 10 people. Nobody says that. I mean, all I hear is the exclusion, these people designate to exclude.
That's the Arison. They only have, you only have,
yeah,
witness.
But nowadays we do Arison and the Nesuin together. We
right.
Marry them only after another.
The witness is enough of the Nesuin.
We don't wait the year right. or, you know. For,
right.
We do it right away. But there's no, okay.
You don't need witnesses. It's a
the
it's a person.
That we set of the modicum of the protocol that these two aid them to the exclusion of all others.
That's for
maybe
the Arison.
Say something, you know. Hey, now it's open.
That's for
you
the Arison.
In front of 10 people.
You only need witnesses for the act of Arison. They're married. They're done. They're fully married.
Right, but we want the Nesuin to be.
The Iker is the bracha. So the 10 people is in order to make the blessing. You need 10. They cannot live together until they make the 7 blessings.
Blood
bracha, asur b'al kanida. So you need
so
10 people.
Get up and say, what person can get up and say all the
brachas? All the brachas.
Yeah.
So the question is, does that need to be done? Now,
how do we publicize this? How is it publicized, the fact that, you know, we
the
want
married.
To be in the presence of 10 people?
That's now, why you need 10 people.
You're back in the
it's like a minion.
In the circle again.
It's like a minion. A minion, you don't do a Dover Shabbat Kedusha, you don't say Kaddish, you don't say Baruch Hu, unless you have 10 people.
Right.
So this blessing that is recited, that will allow the Chosn and Kala to live together happily ever after, it has to be recited in the presence of 10 people. They can't make it privately. They can't just say it to themselves. And also
so
has
to. The 10 people, whether they know it or not, with two or two.
No, no, real. You know, you have relatives. They can all be relatives. There's no din edus. It's not. It's like you have a min. Can you have a min of your own family? Yeah, you have 10 children, 10 sons. Of course. So it's the same thing. To make the birchas nisuin, you just need 10 men. 10 adult men, even all relatives. Every single one can be a relative, all be brothers of the chosn or the kala. It's not edus.
No, not only that. I'm talking about the paradigm of, you know, two have been set up.
It's not that this
others.
Is, we don't, we, no, that's only for the Arison. That's a different part of the marriage. The Arison, the din of edus, testimony is exclusive for the Arison, the first part of marriage. Once he says, Hariat Mikudeshes, and he gives her the ring, we're done. We don't need any more Edim. Edim are done. Edim can go home. The Edus is only to establish the marriage, which is established through the Arison. Once they're legally married, to the degree that if she would commit adultery, she would be Chayav Misa, because they're legally married, but they still can't live together. To live together, we need to recite 7 blessings. That's, and then those 7 blessings have to be recited in the context of the husband now taking his wife into his domain. We're now going to live together as husband and wife. You don't need witnesses for this. The witnesses, this is just a show. When they have witnesses by the yichud room, the years ago, they never did this. People tell you, years ago, they never had witnesses for the yichud room. They never. This is a new by the yichud room.
Yeah.
All the years ago.
All the years.
It's not even a real yichud. The real yichud is you go home at night to your apartment, wherever you're going home to. There's no witnesses watching you go home. It's you live together. The ikar is you're under the chuppah. The chuppah is a domain, and this domain is designated for the chosn. Does the chosn have to go to the caterer and say, oh, I want to own it? You know, today we live in a world of chumris, so that they make believe they do these things. I own under the chuppah. You don't really, even that, you don't have to do that. If you have a makom that is miyuchad, that is designated, this is my makom. The caterer gives it to them. It's understood. You have a chuppah. It means the chuppah is the reshus of the chosn for now. For these 5 minutes, this is your place. You own it, you don't own it, I don't know. Don't confuse me with the facts. This is your designated place. And the kala now comes into that makom. You don't need witnesses for this. You don't need witnesses for this. We trust them. We trust them. They say that she came into his rishus, that's good enough. But now, blessings must be recited in the presence of 10 adult men. And they can all be relatives to one another. There is no din edus. No one has to see the chosn. Wait, go slow. We want to watch your foot. So like, you know, some of the do it again. You ever go to a wedding? I don't know if you see where the chosn gives the kala the ring, and then the witness says, wait a minute. do it again. I might have blinked in the middle.
I had it by the first wedding I did. I told Rabbi Yalman, who was reading the Supa, I was on Kedushin. I said, this is my first time. Help me out if I miss something. Poke me. And all of a sudden, I got this poke. I didn't react right away. Then he really gave me a jab, and I went, oh! And he said, Yadim weren't looking. Yeah, I had to tell the
caller
to take the ring off and have
do it again. We're looking. But let's say the guy, a briska, the guy is looking, right? Under the chuppah. You're looking. And you blinked. I blinked. I blinked. How long does it take to blink? Okay, it's ridiculous.
The problem is actually done after she goes into this, for there to be a time lapse.
Do the brachas? I do not know the answer.
The brachas is not the rice.
Nobody knows he took her into his ring, right?
We believe them. We believe them.
He says, I need a minion. She's here.
We believe them. The act of Nisuin does not need witnesses. We trust you. If so man.
The question is, the time lapse okay? If he does the seven brachas are done like
it would seem so. I'll prove it to you because today we really do chup. We do Nisuin. We do four. We do four acts of Nisuin in every modern day wedding. What's the first act of Nisuin? The Badekin. Okay, they come there, he takes the veil and he puts it over her face. That is an act of your mind. You're in my Rishus. You're coming into my home. It's considered to be an act of, that's not Kedushin, I didn't give her anything, you don't give her nothing. When the Chassan comes, it's very dangerous. The Chassan is not supposed to give her a flower. It's a very dangerous thing. When a good Masada Kedushin is on the ball, knows all the things he's not supposed to. Chassan, Kala, Chassan goes down to the Badekin and he has a flower. Oh, it's so romantic. Yeah, you know, you just ruined the whole wedding now. It could be a Shiloh, Brachel of Atal under the Chuppah because you already married her by giving her the flower. Don't look for trouble. A Masada Kedushin knows when the Chassan comes to Badek, the Kala, you don't give her any gifts. Because the giving her a gift may halachically be an act of Kedushin in front of witnesses. What? That's the first act of Nisuin.
It's supposed to be after the Erusin.
Who says? Who said it's supposed to be after? You do it the other way around. If you do the Nisuin first, and then you do the Kedushin, retroactively you have both. You have both. It doesn't have to, if you do just Nisuin, you're not married. But if you do the Kedushin, and you've already done the Nisuin before, you're ready to go. You're ready to go, yeah. It's considered to be an act of Nisuin by the Badekin. It's a chalik of the Nisuin. Then you do the second act of Nisuin when she walks into the chuppah. Or more, the best thing to do is, he is supposed to drag her into the chuppah. Walker. The best thing is, it's very romantic. All the women, they love this. They love this. The chassan goes out. The yeshiva guys are too embarrassed to do this. Too embarrassed, the yeshiva guys. You go out and you take her in. I saw the most unbelievable. I told you this. Yeah, they did by a Bukharian. I'll tell you a whole story half now. We have to go stop. But he went. The kala stopped. I would say a third down the aisle. It was packed. The wedding. A third down. The chassan came all the way, two thirds, and
scored it up.
I can start crying just thinking about this whole scene. The kala was a yisoyma. The kala was a yisoyma, and they gave a lot of brachas. It was unbelievable. There wasn't a dry eye in the place. The place was unbelievable. And the chassan took her all the way down into the chuppah. All the way down to the chuppah. That's how it's supposed to be done. So we took her. That's number two. We did the badekin. We did the chuppah. Number three, after the chuppah is over, he grabs her by the hand. Okay, the Hasidim do this. The Litvaks, they're too embarrassed to do this, but the Hasidim do this. The Hasidim, they're very makbid on this, the Hasidim, to grab her by the hand, to take her by the hand. The Litvaks, Adarabba, the Rashibas, they don't you dare. Spritzos, don't you dare touch her in public. But by the Hasidim, they're very makbid on this.
They're makbid that the chassan dafka takes.
Right, the Hasidim, not by the Litvaks. The Litvaks, they don't.
My chassan wasn't Yerushalayim.
The Spitz Litvak.
And they
okay, very good. Very romantic. It's very good. Okay. The chassan takes her by the hand. And what does he do with her? He brings her into the Cheder HaYichud. That's number three. So grabbing the kala and taking her into the chedik is nisun number three. What's number four? You go home together. You go home together. That's number three. That's the yichud. That's the yichud. Number four, when the wedding is over, number four, you take her home. You take her, that is number four.
When I saw Yerushalayim, that the chasim gives the kala to drink. They don't give someone else to give the kala. The chasim himself gives the kais, he drinks, and he gives it to the kala to drink.
That's not called the nisuin. That's just the gift to drink. Okay, give you why. That's not called nisuin. It's an action of taking her into his possession. The badekin, the chuppah, the yichud room. And the way you do the yichud room is you take her by your own hands and you drag her like a prisoner of war into the yichud room. And then you take her home. You pack her up in a valise and you put her in the car, in the trunk, and you take her home. That's number four. Number four. Those are all nisuin. That's all nisuin, and the kiddushin is just hareat. The bracha is said in the middle of all the action. The bracha is said under the chuppah, but the bracha is going on what was before and what will come later on. The seven blessings under the chuppah, the seven blessings, those are the brachas that are capturing the act of chuppah, the four different parts of chuppah. So it's not said b'diyuk, it's only said in the middle of the chuppah. Look, the nusach of the bracha is Asher kiddushanu sh'oslanos harusais fitlanos nesus al yidei chuppah v'kiddushin. So Rav Mordechai asked the question, what's going on? How could it be that the badekin is done before the erusin, and also the chuppah is done before the erusin? The kala comes, the chosan takes the kala into the chuppah, and then in the chuppah he says harat mikudesh asli. It's the wrong order. He should do the harat mikudesh outside of the chuppah and then take her into the chuppah. Correct? The order should be eris and then nisuin. The answer is
that. The Mordechai says in friends, medieval friends, they used to practice that.
First the eris and then the nisuin.
That the chassid would do the badekinish by the erusin.
So why don't we do that? The answer is the brach itself tells us the order. Al yedei chuppah v'kiddushin. What does the bracha say? First chuppah and then kiddushin. Kiddushin is erusin. Okay, so even you see that it's, the order is not ma'akev. The order is not
ma'akev. It's the wrong order.
Right, so the answer they give also is they say that it's not, we have a printer's error. It's not chuppah with a vav. It's a, with a, it should really be with a beis. Chuppah v'kiddushin. Chuppah that is preceded by the kiddushin. But that's not our gersa. All of the sidurim, it says chuppah with a vav. V'kiddushin.
Ron says it's a mistaken print.
That's what I said. Yeah. But the bottom line is our girsa is chuppah v'kiddushin, and that's what our girsa, that's what we have in every single sitter, and therefore the order is clear. First comes chuppah, and then comes kiddushin. That's what we do. You do two acts of chuppah before you do the kiddushin. You do the badekin, and then the chosan takes the kal into the chuppah. Excuse me, you've done already chuppah twice, and you haven't done an erusin even once? Okay, that's right. You can do it. Whoever told you that the order is ma'akev? The order is not ma'akev. The famous verse from Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner went to a wedding and he was sitting there and he told one of his talmidim, I'm hungry. Get me something to eat. Get me something to eat. So the boy was startled. He goes to the smorgasbord and he sees there's so much food. He comes back to the Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, there's fish, there's cold cuts, there's cholin, there's farfel, onion rings, there's this. What does the Rebbe want? He says, the order is not ma'akev.
By the way, originally, erusin,
yeah,
the chuppah was like 12 months afterwards. There was an erusin, and you gave the time kala together, a rack together, you know, for
right,
like 12 months. So
we don't do that today.
The chuppah was way after.
A year after. Noisim lebesulo yud beis chodesh.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, we'll take a break. I'm going to take a break now for a few minutes.
Quiet.
Okay, yeah.
L'chari, you should make a hakara that everyone should be before the chuppah.
Why?
Because then he's supposed to have nesu'un afterwards.
Yeah.
Right? He said, whoever's the kashrut would be has to have she's also to the
afterwards.
Nesu'un. Right.
You only have once.
Right. So the Mekadesha would be the night before the day.
Okay.
And then he'll go to the wedding and they'll have the nesu'un. And they'll be
so nesu'un. Rav, the Gemara says, that's a very nice idea.
But Rav Mangid.
Rav Mangid, a man of the you know, when Rav was Mangid, it's not just, okay, the guy's a prostitute guy. He's like, what you're saying? There's a lot of logic behind it. Why not? Maybe he doesn't like her. You know, unfortunately, there are a lot of divorces. It's on mute. There are a lot of divorces where I understand that the result comes, the cause of the divorce is a realization on the night of the wedding. What happens the night of the wedding?
Right.
The night of the wedding,
because they're not prepared.
They realize, you know, we're not...
Well, they're not ready.
Right, so, and that is the stimulus. So what would be a very good idea? There should be a kiddushin, and then wait a couple of months, and if you take a see, now you know what marriage is all about, and maybe it's not for you, you're not ready yet. And if we should not have the nesu'un, we're ready to have a divorce. There's a lot to be gained by having eris and tubia. It makes a lot of sense.
But
Rav understood the whole thing, and Rav said, I don't want it done.
Because people take advantage of it.
I don't know why. But, you know, when I was a child, I would laugh. Oh, it's so prust. Now I get older, it's not prust. It makes a lot of sense. It would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah,
and then they have one beer, and then you have time out and reflect if marriage is really for you or not, and if not, you give a gift, and you don't have all the problems, all the whole nightmare, what goes on in marriage. It would solve it. It's brilliant, right? Rav knew all of this, and Rav says, no, I don't want it.
Is that to keep your shirt collar clean? Is that what the idea is? You might totally don't get it dirty. By the way, I went through at least 20 centers now. Mark said very fast.
Wow.
One time when it spelled Malik, when it says, we have kept you, Liman Blechus Kohanim, but God is saying, you want to be, you know, before my Torah, yeah, we have kept you, Liman Blechus Kohanim, it's spelled Mole over there. But every time, in Parshas Pinchas, where it's rampant, Shabbos, everything, it's chossa, only when it's talking about God, it's Mole. I mean, it just hit me now. So
fascinating.
So I was
Hashem is molded. The kedusha.
Right, just like
molded.
The word told us. That I told you, Eila told us the Shemayim bar is the barom. It's the only time it's molded at all. By the way,
somewhere in Manhattan.
Always is only one time.
Where's Joe Biden?
I carry around the old time. I think. That's what made me think it is.
Because of that, when you talk about God, it's not that.
That's a beautiful being.
So that is Molly. That's the only time there's Molly on the top of the
Because we're going to be the walks. I wonder if there's a disconnect.
It's a big one. When you disconnect, it's going to be smaller. So at the beginning, we're going to be the father. The end result is Jesus. And the beginning was Tzoris, but we finished off. So now this rabbi is missing out.
That's an
old thing.
But Bob
was the end. He was supposed to do
it. Oh, they don't care.
Apparently. He's the son-in-law, yeah?
No.
What was
the son-in-law?
No, it was Rabbi Scheinberg. He was Rabbi Scheinberg in the Yerushalayim.
He had one of the four-hour savers was the son-in-law.
Maybe now he's in there.
But the
big yard sign today.
So,